Our warmer than normal temperatures of late have tempted a number of migrating birds to come to our area perhaps a little sooner than they normally would. Boy, are they going to be in for a surprise this weekend. Today, we will take a look at how you can help them feel at home. Hello, I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller today. He is still recovering from his crud bug, but we hope that he will be back tomorrow. We'll see. We're telling him to take another day of rest. We are going to talk about how to help our migrating birds, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest experts on how you might attract them to your backyards. Are you seeing any birds these days? Which ones would you like to see? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Jeff Balls, president of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club and board member of the Wood Duck Society. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you with us. Also with us is Ryan Brady, research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Wildlife Management, and he is also the bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. Good morning, Ryan.
Hi, Joy.
It's good to have you both with us. Well, so I a lot of people are posting that they're seeing birds migrating that they might not have seen already. Like, for instance, the Crane Foundation is reporting that sandhill cranes are back in the state. Is this a little early, or is this right on schedule?
It's probably a little early, although it's maybe not record early. I've heard of some cranes, you know, in warmer years showing up, you know, till the end of February. But still, you know, they need unfrozen ground to eat. And that's kind of here in southern Wisconsin, that's kind of happening right now. The rain we had the last couple of days has taken a lot of the frost out of the ground already. So as far as that goes, they'll be okay. As far as nesting, I think a lot of that has to do with photo period, but they'll definitely be, the nesters will probably be setting up their territories very soon.
Yeah, Ryan, any other birds coming back now?
Yeah, quite a bit. You know, I would say not only is it a little bit early, but just the numbers of birds we're seeing this early in the year is higher than a typical year. Usually you get some kind of the vanguard, if you will, of the migrants, a small percentage of the population. We're just getting a good chunk of them. But other ones, Canada geese, lots of geese, greater white-fronted geese, tundra swans, some robins, bluebirds, lots of red-winged blackbirds. So what you would think of as the classic real short-distance migrants, the ones that don't winter too far south of us, are fairly hardy, come back somewhat early. Here in the north, I'm based out of Ashland. We haven't had quite as much action, but we have had a few eagles moving north, as well as quite a few trumpeter swan reports. That's a species that's doing very well and eager to move early in the year.
So are they, Ryan, going to be in any trouble if you get a foot of snow dumped on you this weekend?
Well, it kind of depends on how that cold weather persists. The short-distance migrants, some of them can endure quite readily. If we don't get a big cold snap or feet of snow that lingers for a period of time, which it doesn't sound likely to me that is, then they'll be fine. Sometimes these short-distance migrants undergo a reverse migration, so they say, uh-oh, we better head back. And although they won't go all the way back to their wintering grounds, they will head south a little bit, and so some people might notice that if conditions warrant it.
Yeah. And what about the wood ducks, Jeff? Are they around right now?
Just a few handful. I saw two adult drakes this week. They generally wait a little bit until first part of March or so. I haven't seen them. I have seen a few other ducks, though, like pintails, green-winged teal, some of the diving ducks, common mergansers, which are our normal early migrant, and some common golden eyes as well.
Yeah.
But wood ducks will be here shortly.
I have to admit, when I was asked to fill in for Larry today, I thought wood ducks making nests for or boxes for wood ducks. I thought I didn't really know much about them, and I looked up online. those are those darling little birds that jump out of those boxes, aren't they? They stay up high in a box, and then as soon as they're ready, mom has them jump out, and they just look really sweet and vulnerable jumping out, so brave that they jump out of those boxes. That's the wood duck.
Yep, that's the most common cavity nesting duck, although there are other cavity nesting ducks. The hooded merganser is a cavity nester, bufflehead, common golden eye, and I'm probably thinking one else. Common merganser as well.
So. Yeah, very nice. How did you become such a fan of the wood duck and become a board member of the Wood Duck Society?
Well, I don't know. Probably I came in through maybe waterfowl hunting. That was always kind of the first season, in the hunting season. And I was really enthused to go duck hunting. And then you follow the season, and then, you really get interested. And, the ducks come back in the spring. I can go watch them. And, they're so pretty and beautiful. And then you start following them year-round. And then about 20-some years ago, I bought where I live now, 95 acres, and with a stream running through it. And I thought, I'm going to put up some wood duck boxes. And everything just kind of spiraled out of control. And my kids thought I was, nuts. The old man's in the basement, making birdhouses again. And so that just kind of went on from there. Kind of kept good records, good data, and got in touch with the guys from the Wood Duck Society, which was kind of formed as kind of headquarters loosely in Minnesota. That's where the majority of the members are. But it was kind of retired fish and wildlife personnel, DNR personnel, that kind of sat around a kitchen table and said, this wonderful bird deserves some type of recognition, and let's see what we can do to help it. And there's a lot of misinformation out there, and let's see what we can do to help correct that.
Well, we will help correct that a little bit later in the program. We'll talk more about the wood duck. We'll talk more about how we might be able to properly place and maintain nest boxes for wood ducks and other birds. We'll also learn how to make our backyards more bird friendly. I know that that Ryan knows a lot about that too. And we will welcome your questions, and we'll welcome your sightings of birds at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is in for Larry Mueller. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller, and Steve Paulson joins me. We are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy. Programs like this one. Give your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour we had a terrific hour. We heard from 56 new and returning members.
Wow.
Thank you so much for those pledges. And right now we have an excellent reason for you to make your pledge. We have a dollar for dollar match up to $4,500, and this generous match is from current members, including Greg Zahn from Newton, and it means that they will match every dollar you give.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And I love these dollar for dollar matches because it allows you to double your support for the programs that you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we are commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State and federal and corporate funding are important, but there is another source that is very important too.
And that is you. You are the single largest piece of the budget pie, listeners like you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone. It really is the backbone of our funding. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sustaining members provide vital and stable support for WPR. And if you are already a sustaining member, thank you very much for your ongoing support. If you are not a sustainer yet, become one right now.
As a sustainer, you make automatic monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, and that support automatically renews every year. So it's very easy to set up. at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll feel really good every time you listen knowing that your support is always current.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing. You could win a WPR fandom package full of top-notch electronics, WPR swag, and tickets to a WPR event. When you give, you're automatically entered. But you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now. Details are online at WPR.org.
I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller with Steve Paulson, and we are here to raise the money that keeps this station, that keeps this program on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we really count on and appreciate your gift. And that gift is going to be doubled as we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now.
And new members are an important part of these membership drives. Every member makes a difference because listener support makes up the single biggest part of our budget. Your donation makes WPR programs possible.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program like the Larry Mueller Show or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or week, you're getting value from what you hear. If you've never given before, perhaps you can start with a pledge of $5 a month, whatever works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do, you really will feel good.
You know, there is that phrase, talk is cheap. But you know what? That does not hold on the Ideas Network. talk is very valuable. And first of all, on the Ideas Network, you get very high quality conversations.
Yeah, they are not free. It takes a lot of resources. We have, we have to be checking resources and doing research, and we have producers, and it takes a lot of work to get all these discussions on the air.
And that's where you come in. I mean, we have to pay for all of this, and you enjoy this high-quality talk, and you support it when you make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,500 in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge because current members, including Greg Zahn from Newton, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know what? It's really easy to do. Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, let's say $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programs. So show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Show your support for Larry Mueller. He really does wish that he could be here today. But you know that thing that's going around? Well, Larry caught that thing and he is recovering. But he's listening. I know he's listening, and I know that he's going to be mad at me if we don't make his goal. So please help me, help Larry, help Wisconsin Public Radio, and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things, and here you get information about events in our region and around the world. You also get music, humor, storytelling.
And you are going to want a lot of news and information in the coming year. Your support makes that possible. Your pledge in any amount really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. Make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or any amount that's comfortable for you, and you will be doing your part to keep this station strong. And remember, we've got that dollar-for-dollar match going right now, so this is the time to make that pledge, and you can help by going to WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. 2552.
Well, thanks to Kevin in Madison for the pledge, who says that he pledged because matching pledge, that's a good reason.
Right.
Yeah. And we thank you. Whatever the reason, we do it because you understand that this is listener-supported radio and that we couldn't do this without your support. And do it because we have that dollar-for-dollar match going on right now when you can double your pledge. Thank you if you've already pledged. If you haven't, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you in just a bit.
Sounds good.
I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller, and we are talking about birds and migrating birds and making sure that we can help these migrating birds as they come back to Wisconsin and maybe attract some to our backyard. What do you do to make your yard bird friendly? We would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. And as usual, we would love to see your bird photos as well. We are talking with two guest experts, and they have all sorts of information and advice for you. Ryan Brady, research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Wildlife Management, and Jeff Balls, president of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club and board member of the Wood Duck Society. And boy, we have lots of callers and Facebook comments. Let's go to Ann in Menasha first. Hi, Ann.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Ann, can you speak right into your telephone mouthpiece as we're having a hard time hearing you?
Can you hear me?
Well, go ahead. Be as brief as you can.
Okay, thank you. First of all, let me just say, Larry, get well. Get well soon.
Yeah.
Because I know he's listening. But my question is this. I'm not very much an environmentalist since having read Rachel Carson's books in spring a number of decades ago. And I just wanted to ask about the impact what they feel is, I think I have my own idea, but the impact of chemicals on the bird population.
Do we know, maybe Ryan first, if herbicides or pesticides or chemicals in our environment are impacting our bird populations?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that they're impacting bird populations. I think the question probably is to what extent, right? And I think there's a lot of unknowns probably right now. A lot of us are in maybe the position that Ann is in having kind of a hunch, if you will. But obviously we're going to need to do more research on this particular topic to look directly at the impacts. There is some work, especially out of Europe. There's been a lot on the effects of some of the chemicals we use today on insect populations, and then how those effects would then cascade up to into the bird populations, because birds really rely heavily, a lot of them, on insects. And so there are drastic changes in the insect populations out there, and in turn, those are having some negative impacts on the birds for sure. So if you want to do some better things for birds around your yard, that's certainly one way, is to reduce the use of chemicals, go organic, or use them sparingly. And in some cases, our kind of obsession, if you will, with lawns is very detrimental to most birds. And so letting areas go wild, not applying chemicals, not mowing, allowing them to maybe grow back into a more promising habitat for birds would be beneficial.
Thank you, Ann, for the call. Mary Ann in Spooner is with us. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi. My question has to do with the fact that we have a wood duck house fail. Multiple years, we've tried various different approaches. The first year we put a wood duck house on a birch tree, and something got in and destroyed the whole nest, including the mother. The next year we put it in our bay. We're on a lake, a wilderness lake, a large lake, that there's only a few people that live on that lake, but it was a cranberry marsh, and they used a lot of chemicals. I'm aware of that. So we put the box in the bay, in the water, about 8 feet facing south. We put cedar shavings, I believe, up about 6 or 8 inches in the box. And what we ended up with was, again, a predator got in there somehow or other, destroyed the nest, so then we added a baffle the following year.
Yeah, Marianne.
Now we've got eggs. that are in there from last year, so they never hatched.
Oh, so I'm going to obviously turn this one over to Jeff.
Okay.
Have any questions or answers for Marianne?
Yeah. Marianne, you made some, you know, at the Wood Duck Society, we always promote putting boxes on poles, and you've learned that for that reason, for predators, and with some type of guard. And you've learned that lesson, unfortunately. So I always kind of place my boxes where wood meets water, as close as possible, with a direct flight path that's the hen can come free and unobtrusively as possible. What could be happening is that you're getting a young hen that's laying eggs in a box and doesn't have any experience on how to brood or incubate those eggs. That's probably one of the most common things that I've been finding out that's been leading to nest failures. And that's a tough one to really nail down. There's still some research going on for that. Some years, you know, I get people that say, you know, I've had nest box, you know, for 10 years, and all of a sudden now I'm getting this just unhatched eggs. So I don't know if there's a shelf life to that box where other hens find out what's going on and just lay eggs in there without any hint of incubating them or not. But that's a one that still kind of stumps me.
Yeah. So, in general, Jeff, what does a wood duck look for in a good home?
Well, they have to have a nest, a cavity. Cavity in within or up to a mile away from water. Close to water is probably better, but they can go as far as a mile away. And we're actually kind of learning that maybe some of the boxes in cavities that are a little further away from water actually have a better success ratio. But that's still one of those things that we're trying to determine. But a box on a pole with a guard that has a clear flight path to and from, and somewhere near a good area that's going to be able, where that duckling family is going to be able to be raised, where there's lots of submerging vegetation, some overhead vegetation as well. Wood ducks don't like to be out in the open. That's one thing that they kind of differentiates them from your normal mallards and teal and stuff. They kind of like to be near cover at all times. So that's one other thing that kind of look for. Maybe that, you know, cranberry marsh are you know, a little exposed. Maybe try to find somewhere where there's some brush nearby or some down trees, down willows are just a favorite of wood ducks.
So do wood ducks need our help this way? Is there not enough cavities for them, or is there a big effort to put up wood duck boxes?
Well, do they need them? Maybe not need them, but it's definitely enhancing wood duck populations. You know, they will nest in tree cavities. Busted off limbs, things like that. You know, going back to pre-European settlement times, you know, the eastern half of the United States was one solid forest, and wood ducks, you know, were doing just fine. And then once the land was cleared, we lost a lot of those cavities, along with unregulated hunting, market hunting, and wood duck numbers were decimated and were thought to probably go extinct. Some forward-thinking people in the 1920s and 30s went and actually climbed trees and found these natural cavities, and then thought, well, maybe if we could mimic these natural cavities, that we could help bring the wood duck population back. And they took some measurements of hole size, cavity depth and size, replicated that, and lo and behold, that the wood ducks did kind of take to these artificial nest boxes. And that's where kind of the tide was turned. And now as our landscape gets maybe a little more forested, or the forest age gets a little more older, we have a few more cavities are kind of rebounding, the number of cavities are rebounding.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt about it that nest boxes have certainly made an impact on the wood duck numbers.
Well, besides nesting boxes, Ryan, what does, I know it probably is individual, but what is a bird looking for when it migrates through or to Wisconsin? How would we make our backyards as attractive and as helpful as we can for them?
Well, we could have a whole show, I think, on that, Joy.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, think about habitat, right? Food, water, shelter, and reducing the threats to those birds. So food, okay, you think about bird feeders. Well, not just bird feeders, because only a handful of birds eat the seeds that are feeders, whereas hundreds of species eat all kinds of other things like insects and seeds, natural seeds and fruits and nuts to some degree. So think about those sorts of native plants that can provide those sources. Water, bird baths, and or streams or larger ponds, other forms of shelter, not just nest boxes, but things like brush piles and dense groves of conifer trees, leaving dead trees around for cavities, leaving down trees on the ground as kind of a coarse woody debris, those sorts of things. And then reducing threats and hazards. Things like window collisions are a very large problem. The most recent estimate is 600 million birds per year are killed by collisions with windows. Not all residential homes, but a lot of residential homes. So you may think, I had a bird or two hit my window, but that can be a huge problem when multiplied by all those out there. And then the elephant in the room is always outdoor cats. And even though it's kind of a controversial issue, the science is very clear. They're killing literally billions of birds each year, outdoor cats. And so keeping your cat indoors is a very good help to bird populations, and it's safer for your cat.
Yeah. I keep my cat indoors, but he does hang out looking out the window at the birds. Is that okay?
You're okay, Joy. You're okay. You'll be safe in the bird community.
Yeah, Mary on Facebook wants to attract Orioles to her yard. She's been using grape jelly and oranges. Boy, I've been trying too, and I'm not having any luck. She's wondering where she should put them and when, and or whether she should be doing something else. Maybe Ryan?
Well, our Orioles will start coming back right around the May 1st or so, give or take a few days, depending on the spring. So you can start getting them ready in late April. They're currently down in Central America, probably. Not thinking about our weather really at this point. And so you can present jelly. Doesn't matter what kind, in a dish of some sort. A lot of people just take a small glass dish and stick it on their deck railing, and that works. Same with orange halves. They will drink nectar as well, so sometimes you'll see them at a hummingbird feeder or a feeder adapted just for them. But they don't like deep woods. They want big kind of open woodlands or edges, woodlots, kind of a park setting kind of thing with big deciduous trees that have a nice canopy. Where they spend a lot of time. May is a good time to get migrants, but then later on, if you have nesting birds around June and July, they're going to bring young ones into those feeding sources, and you can get them as well. It could probably, you know, if she's not getting them and she's tried some of those things, because they're not terribly picky, it could be a habitat issue where she just doesn't have them in the immediate landscape, and so they're not finding it.
Talking with Ryan Brady and Jeff Balls during this edition of the Larry Mueller Show, talking about birds and migrating birds and bird nest boxes and how to attract birds to our backyards, how to make them bird friendly, welcoming your questions, your sightings, your experiences. We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment, but we are in our winter membership drive, and it's very important to remind you that your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs and great advice. Now, Steve Paulson joins me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And Joy, we have some work to do here. We have... We have this wonderful dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including Greg Zahn from Newton, which means that, your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, $500 would turn into $1,000, and most of that money is still on the table there, which we don't want to leave. We want you to make that pledge right now. This is the time to make that pledge, to show your support for this kind of program, for what Larry does, for what Joy does. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I know that you have been enjoying this conversation about birds. I think this is one of the most popular topics on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've done a few on my morning show as well. Bird watching and loving birds and wanting to help bird populations is something that is important to you. Now take a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and have it doubled. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid or in the car with your parents. You know, they were driving around. They'd always put public radio on and you were sitting in the back seat and there was public radio. Or maybe you found us on your own. Whatever way that you discovered WPR, I'm guessing you want WPR to continue. It is an important part of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I know that we make mention of it every once in a while. This is the 100th anniversary or birthday of Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's been around a long time, thanks to support from listeners like you. If you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of maybe $5 or $10 a month. It's easy. It doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And WPR has been around for a long time because we are committed to quality. And since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution truly makes this program possible and many others as well. So you are the quality that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio every day. And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $4,500. And yeah, we still have
a long way to go.
I'm actually kind of surprised. So I know Larry Mueller's not here, but he's listening and he wants us to make this dollar-for-dollar match challenge, and we can do it with your help. So a $5 or a $10 or a $20 contribution is doubled. For that matter, if your pledge is $100, that's doubled. So make your pledge at an amount that's right for you. Double your impact, double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller with Steve Paulson, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. You decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio and then do it and have it doubled, as we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the things that we at Wisconsin Public Radio are doing right now is we're celebrating our 100th birthday. And, you know, when you think about it, a lot has changed over those 100 years. You know, technology, education, politics, business, it's all changed dramatically. But in some ways, what we do at WPR really has not changed that much at all. I mean, we are committed to service, to access, to opportunity for everyone. And that was true 100 years ago, and that is still true. That is the core of our mission.
And Larry has not been around for all of the 100 years, but he's been around for probably half of those
That's
years.
A big chunk, yeah.
And he has done, he has done wonders here in serving listeners with all of his great guests and all of their great information that they can share with you. You have direct access to these experts on birds and other animals and computers and gardens. It's the University of Wisconsin Extension at your service on the Larry Mueller Show. And I can't imagine that kind of service is going to change. That we hope to see we can't wait to see what the future holds. There's one thing we do know, that your support makes the vital information that you rely on every day possible. We exist thanks to your help. So make your centennial gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a wonderful reason to make that pledge right now, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect, up to $4,500. And we still have a big chunk of that left. So that is in effect right now. It is a great time to pledge because current members, including Greg Zahn from Newton, will double every dollar you give. And it is their way of inspiring you to support WPR, to say, hey, why don't you step forward? Why don't you support this great service that you count on? You know, often you take it for granted, but this is the time right now during this pledge drive to step forward and to say, yeah, I will help pay for what I listen to on the radio. And the thing is, you can double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you tune to Wisconsin Public Radio every day, maybe on your way to work or your way from work, or maybe over the lunch hour as you are doing right now, and you probably sample some more on the weekends.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day would probably be different. I'm guessing it would be worse if you could not catch your favorite program. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about what you spend a dollar a day on. A coffee, your phone. I spend more than that on my phone. A snack
I spend more than that on coffee, too.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. A snack from the vending machine, even that's more than a dollar. It's easy to spend a dollar a day on something that's a part of your daily routine that you probably don't even think about.
So what about Wisconsin Public Radio? WPR is your daily news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn more. It is your public radio. Support it today and every day. Give a dollar a day, that's $30 or $31 a month, at WPR.org, or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Michael from Fox River Grove, Illinois. So here's somebody across the border who's supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. He pledged and he says, keep up the good work. Well, we'll do, thanks to you, Michael. You can pledge to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll talk more about our friendly birds coming up after this. We are talking with our two guest experts about how to properly place and maintain nest boxes and which ones are right for your yard. We're also talking about the different species of birds you can attract and finding out how to get a bird-friendly yard. If you have a question about attracting birds or maybe identifying birds or how you can help birds, or what you're seeing these days, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with Jeff Balls, who is president of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club, board member of the Wood Duck Society, which is an organization devoted to the nesting and biology of wood ducks. And Ryan Brady is a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Wildlife Management. He is the bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. We have a number of emails and Facebook posts and some nice pictures, too. Bev on Facebook posted a nice picture of a trumpeter. She said she saw a few on the Wisconsin River this morning, and she thinks that's a little early for that area. And again, that is a picture posted on the Larry Mueller Facebook page, Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Jeff from Fond du Lac says that they have sandhill cranes and says that I should go to Fond du Lac instead of Nebraska, like you mentioned this morning. That's right. I mentioned on the air this morning that I'm taking a trip to the Platte River area in Nebraska. It's where hundreds of thousands of sandhill cranes congregate, I guess, as they migrate from the south to Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I do love seeing them here in Wisconsin, too. But yeah, there's a Leanne from Princeton spotted sandhill cranes in January. So, I mean, sandhill cranes. We touched on these when we first started. But where were they coming from? Are they coming from Florida and Texas and that sort of thing, Ryan?
Yeah, I think the bulk of our summering sandhill cranes spend the winter in Florida, but. There's a decent number of them, especially in mild years like this, that don't make it all the way to Florida. They just go as far as they have to, so they'll kind of a band between Florida and Wisconsin. They're kind of sprinkled throughout. And I even heard of a few wintering up in Door County this year, which is fairly exceptional. So if the ground's not too hard and they can access food because of lack of snow cover, combine that with some mild temperatures, and it makes sense that they can kind of squeak it out.
Yeah. Jeff, I know that you're with the Horicon Marsh Bird Club, and wasn't the Horicon Marsh involved in trying to help the whooping crane?
Yes. There was a release site for the direct autumn release whooping cranes up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So. And you have an event coming up at Horicon. Why don't you tell us about that? I missed the date now. Was it in March?
March 4th. We're having a nest box seminar, and we will cover we'll cover wood ducks and bluebirds. Every year we cover wood ducks and bluebirds because those are the most common cavity nesting birds and the ones that people are always most interested in. And this year we're also covering... Kim Grevels is going to be covering about what you can do to your yard to enhance your yard for migrating birds. And then we're going to have Jack Barthamay, local award-winning photographer, giving kind of his rendition through some outstanding photographs of what you can possibly see along an S-Box trail. That's one that you don't have to even be a birder to enjoy. If you enjoy a pretty picture, pretty photograph, enjoy nature, that's kind of worth your while to take that in.
Sounds good. We have lots of calls, so let's go to Monica in Green Bay. Hi, Monica.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is in referring to the previous caller who was struggling to have a successful nesting, providing a box for wood ducks. She mentioned using cedar shavings in the boxes, and I was just wondering if the guests know if using cedar shavings might be irritating, the shavings might be irritating to the respiratory system of a wood duck.
Jeff?
No. It's not an enclosed, confined space, you know, that they're, taking in direct odors that way. I use pine shavings because it's a little cheaper. Put enough in there, probably about 4 inches or so, enough so the hens can bury their first number of eggs. Bury them in the shavings. So no, that's the only thing I would maybe stay away from is real like sawdust, really 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 fine, because that can attract and hold moisture, and then render the eggs, if it gets too wet, to take the heat away from the eggs that the hens are trying to incubate. But no, I don't think cedar shavings are hindering anything.
Thanks, Monica. Bill in Oregon is with us now. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I had a few comments about the Platte River and a question about wood ducks. If you go to the Platte River, there's Fort Kearney State Park, which has a bridge across the river and offers you just pay a $5 park fee, and you can have a really nice migration experience there.
Thank you.
And And then also the Rose Sanctuary. If you can get into one of the blinds there, I strongly recommend it because that gives you the big experience.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Bill. So what about you? You've been seeing some wood ducks, though, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in a rural subdivision that's surrounded by cornfields. And we're just a big bump that has a lot of oak trees and secondary growth. And I've been seeing wood, not recently, but over the last couple summers, I've been seeing wood ducks in the trees. And I was just, is there any scenario that would have them nesting in an area that doesn't have any obvious water nearby, or are they just passing through?
They'll be looking, always looking for cavities. I say they'll nest up to a mile, mile and a half away. Even if there's just a little bit of a ditch or stream that you know, puddle that leads to somewhere, they'll still look for those cavities. Where they nest and where they raise their young are two different habitats. So
yeah, we're gonna check news in a moment, and we will continue to take your calls about birds for our two guests, Jeff Balls and Ryan Brady. But now some membership drive business to accomplish. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller. And Steve Paulson is here. And, Steve, we are making some progress toward the goal.
Yeah. So we have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. And we've been doing you have come through for us recently. It's still in effect. We still have some money on the table. It's up until $4,500. That's and we still have some left. So this is your chance to make that pledge. A gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. And this is all because current members, including Greg Zahn from Newton, have stepped forward and have wanted to show their support for WPR.
Yeah, they want to inspire you, to encourage you to support WPR too. So take advantage of this match. And show your support for the Larry Mueller Show, and double that support during this 5 minutes when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And one of the things that I love about Larry's show is just all of the practical information that you get, and it's sort of shared knowledge. And you know, it's you can then take it out into your own life, and you know, there's that love of the outdoors, and it's sort of like it's as you were saying earlier, Joy, it's like the UW Extension, you know, coming into your home and with all the wisdom, the collective wisdom of people around Wisconsin. I don't know where else you'd get that. I
mean, you don't get it anywhere else.
This is unique. This is the reason why you should make that pledge right now. Show your support. You will not hear this kind of program anywhere else. You only get this on WPR's Listener Supported Ideas Network. So make a pledge. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It's a big year for Wisconsin Public Radio. 2017 marks our 100th anniversary. And this membership drive, we thought it would be fun to offer a new version of an old favorite. Ask for your latest WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month. We are all about Wisconsin, and so is this shirt. It has a really cool geometric design showing Wisconsin and the many connections between WPR and listeners. The shirts are dark blue with light blue printing and come in sizes small through 2XL. Show your support for radio you love with the new WPR t-shirt. Celebrate with us. Ask for yours now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller, along with Steve Paulson, looking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And Steve, I like this t-shirt, this new WPR t-shirt, because I see this geometric design, which sort of connecting the dots among the different cities in Wisconsin. And that's what I love, that because we kind of connect the state with Wisconsin Public Radio.
And absolutely, yeah. And that is yours. Mm-hmm. And it's a brand new design. That is yours for a pledge of $10 a month, $120 altogether. And I have to say, the designs that WPR has come up with in recent pledge drives, they have really taken a step up.
they're not the cow that says, I heard it on Wisconsin Public Radio. But I kind of like that one, too.
Anyway, another, we're trying to throw out a few extra incentives for you to make that pledge. And of course, the reason why you pledge is you support Larry Mueller's show. You support what Joy does. You support all of the wonderful things you hear on WPR. But if you just need a little extra incentive, that t-shirt is yours. So anyway, you make that pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
I am just so happy to report. I was a little nervous there at first because I knew Larry would not like it if I didn't reach his goal. And we've met the $4,500 challenge grant, as I call it, the dollar for dollar match. So thank you so very much. But that doesn't mean that we still don't need your support, because we do. Listener support is the foundation of our budget. And we need to hear from you, especially if you are a big Larry Mueller fan. And this is a show that you don't miss. And you appreciate all the great guests that Larry has on. And the great rapport that Larry has with his guests, too, which I cannot mimic. I wish I could. He is a treasure, and this show is a treasure. And you've value it, so give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Larry is a treasure, one of a kind. Yeah. And we are so lucky to have him and have had him for all these years on WPR. So why don't you step forward and show your support? Show your support for what Larry does and for all that you hear on WPR with a pledge of any amount. And make that pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Heidi and Paul from Oak Creek, who say, we love the Larry Mueller Show. Thank you for all the interesting programs. See, I told you. Richard from Madison says, I donate this time every year. Thank you, WPR. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your support. You can pledge, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller. This is the Ideas Network. Sometimes it takes more than just a bird feeder to get birds to come to your yard. Hi, I'm Joy Cardine, sitting in for Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about what we can do to make our yards a good place for birds with two guests. We have Jeff Balls and Ryan Brady with us. Jeff is president of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club and board member of the Wood Duck Society, an organization devoted to the nesting and biology of wood ducks. And Ryan is a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Wildlife Management. He is the bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. So what questions do you have about birds and attracting birds to your yard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. And I want to thank you both, Jeff and Ryan, for being with us today and for being on standby as we do our pledge drive business. But I do want to thank you for all you do for birds and let you know that we have just had a great success in this past hour with listeners supporting the show, and that is a reflection on you too and your great information and advice that you're giving. So again, thanks.
So thank you, Joy.
Thank you. Glad to help.
We touched on Oreos before, but Jennifer in Wanakee is interested in Oreos. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Joy. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I just went to the wonderful Garden Expo and purchased this amazing Oreo feeder, and I am dying to use it and not sure when I should start putting out the oranges and the jelly.
Ryan, I think you said early May is a good time?
Yeah, May 1 is a good ballpark time for the first migrants to start showing up. The first half of May is probably going to be the peak time down in the southern half. But who knows? If we have a continued warm spring, it may be more like the last week of April. So I'd start revving it up in the last week of April.
You know what, Jennifer?
Okay, I guess I have a way to wait then.
Yeah, you know what, Jennifer? I got one of those Oreo feeders at the Garden Expo a few years ago. So great minds, huh?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. But, you know, Ryan, I think you mentioned, and this is what I think I need to consider, is that I just put a saucer of grape jelly on the railing on my deck, and they'll like that, too.
Well, it can work as simply as that, which mm-hmm. is great, but it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, that's true.
I would mention, though, Joy, the Orioles, you know, they're a long-distance migrant. They're right now, like I said, down in Central America. They have, a lot of our birds are down there in Central America, so the conservation of birds is very much an international effort. But they just do not understand the weather we're having here now, so their migration is going to be less affected by these kind of anomalies in the spring weather.
Yeah.
And they're going to stick more to, like Jeff said earlier, photo period, which is the length of daylight, which triggers their migration tendencies. And so that's why they tend to be on the same schedule from year to year.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, you've been on my show in the mornings, and I know that we've talked about birds before. Here's my situation. I've actually put my feeder away just because it was a lost cause, and I'm gonna start all over because I had raccoons and squirrels. They were busting them and they were eating them, and birds weren't even coming there. And you told me that I had my feeder all sorts of problems. I had it hanging on a hook on my deck. It was not on a pole. It was too low. It was too close to my window. What are some good guidelines for putting the feeder in the right spot?
Well, the closer you can have it to habitat, the better off you are. And so people like to be able to have it right outside their window, but that can be kind of risky, number one, for window collisions, but number two, the birds may be less likely to come close. So you want to have it near some habitat, some trees, some shrubs, some cover. A pole is a really good system to mount it on, or if you're going to hang it from a branch, but you need to have a baffle either from the ground up or from the branch down to keep the squirrels and raccoons from being able to get on there. And then you definitely want to avoid what we call the feeder danger zone, and that is from 3 to 30 feet, so about 1 to 10 yards or 1 to 10 steps. Don't put your feeder in that range relative to house windows, because when the birds spook, that's when they might hit the windows and add to that $600 million per year, right?
Yeah.
So put it either super close, less than 3 feet away, or get it more than those 30 feet away.
And the last time you were on my morning show, we were talking about, we were talking about owls that were already starting to nest, because you watch the nesting birds a lot.
Yeah, so we have a project going on, the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas, and that always needs volunteers, so go check it out if you're interested in contributing your sightings. But, great horned owls are already nesting. They are currently incubating eggs, at least in the southern half of the state.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably just starting up in the northern tier. And they're one of the earliest nesting birds. They do not nest, they don't build their own nest, so they kind of take a hawk nest or a crow nest, and so they get in there early. And they're also just very good incubators, and so they're able to keep those eggs warm. And it's a very long period in which they raise their young. So the young owls will continue to beg from those adults all the way until next September or October. So it's a tight-knit family for a longer period than a lot of our smaller birds.
Barbara from West Bend emailed, and she wants to know how to attract bluebirds. She says she has put bluebird houses all over her yard and has not had any luck. Is that, Jeff, one that you might field, the bluebird box or house?
Sure. Bluebirds like areas that are kind of open. They're actually kind of good for a regular kind of suburban yard. If you have open areas, they don't like dense forests. They don't, and they also like drier areas, kind of the southwest part of the Wisconsin is going to be kind of their stronghold, but definitely you can attract bluebirds to your yard. But they like open short grass areas with some perches. If you're close to a park that has some open areas, cemeteries, open areas, short grass, that's kind of their niche.
Let's go next to Bob in Cauldron Falls. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's pleasant to have a young lady's voice on here, aren't it?
You think I'm young? That's good, Bob.
I love the idea. Okay, I have a question here. I'm up at my cabin right now, but I have my home is right across from Terry Andy Park. Okay, and the wildlife refuge is right across the road. I'm up here. My wife had called me 2 days ago, and sandhill cranes are back in the wildlife refuge right across the road. Okay, now right now we have no snow. If we get a snow coverage again, you know, and I did work part-time for the DNR for 5 years after I retired, and I did get in on watching sandhill cranes. Is it grains and corn, or is corn too coarse, or should I go to a crack corn if all their feet gets covered up? And then I have another question after that.
All right. So are you want to know what you should feed the sandhills
if they do. Okay, sure.
Okay. Does Jeff or Ryan, do either of you know what he should or could feed the sandhill cranes?
I'll
go for it, Jeff.
Okay, I'll take a stab. Cranes will eat waste grain, but a lot of times this time of year they're also looking for those tubers and roots that inhabit the wetlands. They definitely can do without supplemental feeding, and I would be kind of nervous about that, drawing them into maybe a habited area where, you know, you maybe have, you know, cats or dogs or something that could disturb them. I have heard of stories of, yeah, they will eat, come to corn and that, but that they generally do pretty well by themselves.
Yeah. What's your other question, Bob?
Okay, I worked for Wisconsin Power and Light and Alliant Energy for 31 years right across from Edgewater. We have a slag pond, and I can recall in the early 70s, I was over in the slag pond with a bulldozer, and I came back. It was, I think, the beginning of January, and I said to the guys I was having lunch with, they're not going to believe this. There's a mentally retarded goose over here. He's still here. Okay, and that was the first time we had a goose stay in our area at Sheboygan all the years I worked out there. Okay, and after that, it got up to, I got in with the Audubon Society of doing a count over there, and there were over 3,000. Is that a different species that changed over the years? Because at that time, there were no geese that hung around Sheboygan.
Well, I know you probably meant developmentally disabled, Bob, by being, why did you think that there was something wrong with it?
Yeah, I thought there was something screwed up here. They never, ever hung around here in the winter.
Yeah, okay. So what kind of goose was it?
A Canadian.
All right. I thought that the Canada geese did stay here in the winter quite a bit, Jeff.
Well, they do now, and I said, you know, I certainly can relate to what the caller was saying, that we didn't have any geese here in the winter or the summer even. It wasn't probably until the probably late 70s, early 80s that we had nesting geese in the state of Wisconsin. And that was kind of the subspecies of the giant Canada geese that were originally nesting in Wisconsin. And those geese were kind of brought back to a certain level, and then they just kind of exploded from there on, because kind of a little bit of the changing landscape. Now we have all these nice parks and golf courses that kind of replicate their native habitat in the Arctic, you know, the tundra. And geese are grazers, where more ducks eat aquatic vegetation. So we've kind of turned the tables and turned the tides to make a perfect habitat for Canada geese.
Let's go next to David in Milwaukee. Hi, David. David, are you there? David left. David says he's been hearing woodcocks. Why are they here so early? All right, I'm going to show my ignorance. I'm not exactly sure what that is. Ryan does, though. I know you know what that is.
So there's a species of bird called an American woodcock. It's in the shorebird family, but it is actually unusual in that it likes upland habitats more so. So it's not out in mud flats and shoreline edges and things like that. But they are an early migrant that usually gets back during the month of March. And we have had our very first reports down in the very southeast quarter of the state. Sounds like he's in Milwaukee. I heard Walworth County had at least one or two. They have these really elaborate courtship displays where they fly up into the sky at dawn and dusk and make a very loud, what's called a peent sound. And so if you ever have opportunity in the next month, go out to kind of a shrubby wildlife area or park right as it's getting dark and listen for their wings to kind of twitter up into the air and for that peenting sound. It's really kind of a unique experience. But they're a short-distance migrant in the category of those others that we were talking about. And so it's that warmer weather kind of giving them the cue that, hey, I can get going north again. And we'll see how they fare.
Yeah. Linda in Ashland is with us. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Say, my husband and I moved here about 7 years ago. And when we first did, there's a little wetland drainage that comes out of Prentice Park and goes into Lake Superior. And in the spring and the fall, the swans used to gather there at the mouth of that. And there would be like 75 swans. It was just awesome and beautiful. And now we only see like one pair of swans. And I was wondering if anybody knows what's up with that.
Well, that's your neck of the woods, Ryan. Do you know what's up with that?
Yeah, that's my backyard. Mm-hmm. I can almost a stone's throw away from where I'm talking to you right now. So those are probably tundra swans that she's speaking of that migrate through the area from the Arctic tundra where they nest to where they winter, mostly down along the Chesapeake Bay on the Atlantic Ocean. And they pass through in the spring and the fall in varying numbers. The bulk of them move through the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin, south of the Northwoods. But we do get some stopping here on Schwamigan Bay. And that's probably just a change in water depth. Schwamigan Bay has varying water levels that fluctuate through the decades. And we still see some of those numbers, but they're not always right along the highway and visible like they have been before. And some years are just different than others, and their migration path kicks them more into other directions. So they haven't undergone long-term declines at a broader scale, so it's not necessarily a concern. And she may see them again when the water levels change, such that the aquatic vegetation that Jeff was mentioning is accessible again.
Yeah, we're out of time, but I want to give you both just 30 seconds to kind of give us a concluding remark about maybe what we should be watching for as spring approaches and how we might something we might do to help the birds.
Well, thanks. Nest boxes, you know, as we get ready, things start happening here. If you have existing nest boxes, get them cleaned out, get them ready, make sure that they're in good repair. So our nest box seminar coming up March 4th, we'll be talking to, you know, bluebirds, wood ducks, and other cavity nesters if you have any questions there. And if you like birds and Horican Marsh, don't forget about our bird festival coming up Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, yeah. I've been there. That's
15th,
fun.
Or 12th through the 15th.
We'll be sure to put some more information about that on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. And Ryan, any parting remarks?
I would just say that if you want to help migrating birds, you can make a difference even with a small yard. You don't need a big yard, so just think about less lawn, plant a few more trees and shrubs, think natives if you can, and go check out some information at the Wisconsin Stopover Initiative website, which hopefully you can post that link, Joy, as well as Audubon has a great native plants website. And just keep the birds in mind with all you do around your property.
Will do. Thank you both so much for being with us. Ryan Brady is with the Department of Natural Resources, and Jeff Balls is the president of the Horican Marsh Bird Club. Thanks to them for all their great information. Steve Paulson joins me in the studio now as we wrap up this program for the winter membership drive for Wisconsin Public Radio. You were just so outstanding in our first hour. We made that goal and then some. Steve, we have a new goal for this last segment
we
of the
do.
Show.
That's always the way it is.
I know.
Isn't it?
Keep on giving us these goals.
Yeah. So we heard from 48 members last hour. Thank you very much for those pledges. That was wonderful. And just a few minutes left before the end of the show, but we are looking for 10 pledges altogether. We've already heard from five of you.
Yeah.
So five more in the next few minutes.
So you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and The Larry Mueller Show.
And think about it. You know, we've been listening to all this conversation about wood ducks and swans and cranes and a pledge for the birds.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes. And I mean, a pledge for Larry's show, a pledge for all that you hear on WPR, for the many, many programs. You are the one who make it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years of broadcasting. And even though some of your favorite shows weren't around in 1917, what if they were?
Tom Clark here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. And Zorba, tell us about our topic today.
Well, we're going to talk about vitamins. These are newfangled things. Do they really exist, or is this just another form of quackery? And could this recent discovery change how we combat scurvy and rickets?
Vitamin, never heard of them. I'll stick with my snake oil, thank you. Okay, what's today's recipe?
Mocktails. The way things are going, alcohol might not be around much longer, so we've got you covered for possible drier days ahead.
Cheers to that.
Okay, so maybe Zorba Pastor on your health wasn't around to cover 1917, but we've been through a lot in our first 100 years. And it's all thanks to listeners like you. Here's to the next century of broadcasting. Help build our future now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller with Steve Paulson, here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air, where you will hear scientists who are up to date with current information at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we just have a few minutes left before the end of this program. Of course, much more to follow after this. We're looking for five more pledges, and we really only have two or three minutes right now. Out to ask for your support, your pledge. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may not have a life coach or a personal trainer or a personal bird watching expert to tell you what you're seeing on your feeder, but that's okay, because you can listen to the Ideas Network and get great advice from all sorts of experts. And the cost to you? Well, that's what's kind of cool about this. You get to decide. You choose. The Ideas Network is your affordable source of helpful information, and it really is a bargain. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR because you can count on unbiased reporting, great conversations, and terrific music. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
You are already a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your first ever donation of, say, $5 or $10 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we don't have much time left at all, but make that pledge. Show your support for Larry Mueller, for everything that you hear on WPR. A pledge of any amount. It would be wonderful. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we have about 1 minute for us to make five pledges, because even though we exceeded the goal in the first hour, we are still looking for five more pledges. Will you be one of them to help us stay on track? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make a pledge to help support Wisconsin Public Radio and to let Larry Mueller know that you hope he gets well soon.
And you need a little extra incentive? Ask for the WPR T-shirt. Show your pride for the radio you love when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. And don't forget, when you give, you're also entered in the drawing for the WPR fan package.
Yeah, that fan package has all sorts of good WPR stuff in it for you. Thanks to John from Mequon, who says, I believe it's good to pay for unbiased news and information. Thanks, WPR. Thank you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.